We should never apologize for feeling the power of the Holy Spirit as we did this morning. I understand the reason for it, but that's never anything to apologize for. We should always speak as was spoken from the heart. It's interesting, we're talking about the light and how, I was just thinking of this when the congregational prayer was being presented. We have a member of our congregation who was, he and his wife would drop everything after he retired, and they would go out to work trips into the States and other places around the world where need was great and so on. And Bill Kluster is his name, and Bill just passed away actually on Friday, or Thursday rather, and his visitation is today, and his funeral is tomorrow. So when that light goes out, as far as going to other parts of the world to help, when that light goes out, God provides more light in the form of three young people from this congregation who are going off to Guatemala to help out. So interesting how that all those threads tie together. Allow me to lead you in a prayer of illumination this morning. Heavenly Father, as human beings, we are created to worship. We are created to worship you, but sometimes our worship is shallow. Sometimes our worship is shallow because we don't surrender ourselves completely to you. Lord, we pray that you would give us that ability this day and always to surrender everything to you, to hear your word this morning, to apply it to our lives. Allow us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' most powerful name we pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, the first five verses. This is the fourth of five, rather, discourses from Jesus. It emphasizes the importance of our humility and our self-sacrifice. It teaches us that childlike faith, not childish faith, but childlike faith is what matters. Not our social standing, not our economic means, not our political clout, but a childlike faith is what matters most. Hear these words from God. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." This is the word of the Lord. And as we read that with verse 2 in mind, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little child." By way of context, during the time of Jesus, children had no rights. They had no standings. It's not like today where we have children's bill of rights and things along those lines. Children had no rights. They had no standings, so they were totally dependent upon whoever, whether it be their parents, a relative, or someone else. They were dependent upon someone else to be fed and cared for and so on. That is the reference that Jesus makes in the Bible, where he says, unless you change and become like a little child, unless you become totally dependent on me. Friends of the Lord Jesus Christ, over the summer months at our congregation, Pastor Andrew took requests, if you will. He asked the congregation over the summertime when, you know, people are away, the attendance is maybe not what it is otherwise, and he didn't want to get into various series and things along those lines. So he asked people, give me some Bible passages that you've always struggled with, that you don't understand or what have you, and he did that throughout the summer months. And in an effort to continue on that path, when I was asked to lead this service in my congregation in late July, I went in the same direction, if you will. A few weeks prior to the sermon being presented, I was listening to some music with my 18-year-old daughter, Emily, and we were listening to this particular song, and she suggested the words to that song might be a good jumping-off point for the passage. Now, some of you may remember, and I apologize, I probably should have had it up on the screen so you would have had an opportunity to hear and see, but some of you may remember the song, "I Want to Go Back." David Dunn is the singer. The song is about a grown man who remembers the simplicity of his youth. But at the same time, he laments the fact that life has become so much more complicated than it ought to be. The music video bounces back and forth between this young boy riding his bike through the neighborhood, maybe 10, 11 years old. He's riding without a care in the world, and then the video bounces to a grown version of that boy on a motorcycle, presumably consumed by what the world tells him he should be obsessed with. The words of the song begin like this. It says, "When I was a kid, I thought I could run across the ocean. I was going to be an astronaut. It was you, it was me. I had everything I needed. Faith could even move a mountaintop." But it continues, "Then I grew up, and then I got older. Life got tough, and we grew apart." Not only has this young man grown apart from the days of his youth, but he's also grown apart from the days of his Savior. He sings, as we did this morning, he sings he wants to go back to the time when he remembers the simplicity of the faith, when he remembers Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. And he remembers this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. One of the lines in the song is, and I quote, "When I was a kid, I wasn't really interested in keeping up with the Joneses. I was just happy they lived next door." And I wonder about us here this morning. Does our interest lie in Jesus? Or are we concerned about the Joneses? Have we become consumed with our careers, with our money, with our possessions, that we've forgotten the simplicity of the faith, the simplicity the kids learned this morning? It isn't written that we should love our God when we're able to squeeze a minute or two out of our ridiculously busy schedules. And the Bible doesn't say love your neighbor as long as he or she has a job, is of the same political persuasion, and is a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. No, the Bible says love your God with every piece of your being. Love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Simple, straightforward, no room for debate. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In an interview, the author David Dunn said the song should remind us about that simple truth of faith. A, that Jesus does exist, and B, that he does love us. As we get older, he cautions, we can get bogged down by theology and forget the simplicity of the faith. There's nothing wrong with theology. There's nothing wrong with studying. There's nothing wrong with digging deeper into the Bible. But we do have to keep that simplicity, those jumping off points, always in mind. Jesus is constantly challenging us to be more like children, especially when it comes to our faith. as we have this morning and we have in our church as well every week, we invite the kids to come forward to hear something of God's word. And for the most part, they make us smile. And why is that? Yes, it's because they're cute. There's no two ways about that. But it's also because they're uncomplicated and they're honest. They're full of joy and full of love. Generally, they're not full of pride or selfish ambition. And as we said, for the most part, they are content to be loved and fed and cared for. Now, that's not to say that growing up or growing old is something to fear. God creates us to enjoy different stages of our life, but he also reminds us not to stray too far from the ABCs of our faith. Scripture does tell us that as we get older, we have to put away our childish things. We have to put those dollhouses away or those Tonka toys or what have you. But the word also says, never lose your ability to love. The Apostle Paul reminds us of that in his writings to the church of Corinth. Now these three things remain, he writes, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love is on display any number of ways. I look at your bulletin. Love is on display when people teach catechism or gems or cadets or visit people in retirement homes. Love is on display when you're part of a praise team. Love is on display when you're part of a prayer group. Love need not be complex, but it can be life-changing. Love is on display when people go to Guatemala. We are to seek the good of others as earnestly as we seek ourselves, as Philippians 2:4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. But knowing and confessing that we are sinful human beings, we know that our quotient, our love quotient, our quotient, our caring quotient, our helpful quotient is going to run low every once in a while. We're going to go through the motions at church. Our singing and our prayers will be half-hearted. We'll listen, but just barely. And our devotional life will be listless at best. If you're a sports fan, the terminology for this is we would be in a slump. And when athletes are in a slump, their coaches or managers advise them to get back to the basics. They advise them to remember the simplicity of the game they grew to love as a child, not to overanalyze things or overthink things, just enjoy. One of the iconic football coaches of all times back in the 50s and 60s was the late Vince Lombardi of the NFL's Green Bay Packers. And after a loss to a team they shouldn't have lost to, he gathered his team together for practice the next day. He held up a football and he sarcastically said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And on a nearby blackboard, yes, they used blackboards back then, he drew a rectangular image with lines at either end, and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football field. And your job is to cross one of those lines, and you'll be rewarded with 6 points. Now, even though our God won't be as caustic as Vince Lombardi, he'll say to you and I when we're struggling, when we're uninterested, and when we're in a slump, let's get back to the basics. Let's recall what made you love me when you were a child. This is the Bible," he might say. "You should pick it up and read it. It will give you hope and energize you. It will allow you to revere my Son as your Lord. And it will give you the power to treat everyone you meet with gentleness and respect. It will guide you back to the basics, to the childlike qualities of being humble and teachable and forgiving and inquisitive. I read the following quote, the following blog, and I quote, "When we were children, we dreamed of growing up to be adults. When we reached adulthood, the stress of life can make us wish we were back being a kid again. Although we cannot recapture our youth, we can try to cultivate the kinds of traits that we had as children. Children, the author says, are some of the happiest and most fulfilled individuals you will ever meet. And I think adults can learn a great deal from the attitudes of these miniature human beings. Through age, we may gain wisdom and discernment, but we can also lose our childlike passion for living. You see, children are curious, they're excited, they're faithful, they're trusting, they're full of wonder, they're persistent, but maybe most of all, they have short memories. How would our lives and our communities be different if we were likewise? When I was a kid, I had everything I needed. But then I grew up, and life got tough, and we grew apart. My friends at Essex Christian Reformed Church, let's challenge each other. Let's challenge each other to reverse that trend by remembering the simple truths that our Lord taught us when we were a child. Jesus exists, and he does love us, because the Bible tells us so. And this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Shine to guide others out of darkness to his wonderful eternal light. Allow me to lead you in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the faith and love and simplicity of our children. Fill us with that wonderment and that curiosity and that excitement that they have, and make us more humble, more teachable, more forgiving. Thank you for your word that gives us strength and power when we're weak. And thank you for that word that the enemy cannot stand against. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.